Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 25th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
President Trump claims victory following the Mueller report.
There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction.
Chicago Fed President Charles Evans weighs in on the U.S. yield curve inversion.
Financial conditions are clearly something that we're looking at.
Global stocks slump and bond yields hit fresh lows.
Lawmakers react to Attorney General Barr's Mueller report summary. Plus, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is cutting today's Washington visit short after a Gaza attack. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. A near upset in the NCAA tournament. Duke survived over Central Florida. The Knicks lost. The Islanders won.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks around the world are falling this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 7 points, Dow futures down 37, and NASDAQ futures down 21. The DAX in Germany is little changed. CAC in Paris down 0.4%. FTSE 100 down 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 3%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 2%. 10-year Treasury down 0.8 seconds, yield 2.46%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 26 cents to $58.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33%, up $4.60 to $13.23.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.19, and the yen, 110.17. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the biggest political win of Donald Trump's presidency.
There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. It was a complete and total exoneration.
While the president was not completely exonerated, Attorney General William Barr's summary of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report says the president did not collude with Russia. It also said there wasn't enough evidence to find he obstructed justice.
Even so, Democrats are pushing for release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full report. Kevin Cirilli has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Democrats, including the 2020 presidential candidates who are campaigning for president, would like to see that full transparency, would like to see the full text of the Mueller probe. They say that the 4-page document that was produced by Attorney General Barr is a political document and just a summary, a hastily put together summary, as one Democrat put it, and that the American people deserve the full Mueller report.
The Democratic chairman of the House Judiciary Committee says he'll summon Attorney General Barr before the panel to explain the decision not to pursue obstruction charges against the president.
And while allegations of collusion appear to be over for President Trump, his business still faces legal battles on several fronts. Harry Sandick is former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York.
The campaign finance allegations in which Michael Cohen directly accused the president of participating in a crime that Cohen pled guilty to was not part of the scope of what Mueller was doing. The Roger Stone case is being given to the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, so those investigations will continue.
There is still a hunger for impeachment among many Democratic voters, but the effort could backfire, as polls show the wider U.S. public isn't sold on the idea.
Politics also front and center in the U.K. as Parliament moves to take control of Brexit from Prime Minister Theresa May, while members of her own party seek to remove her from power. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. A twin threat faces the Prime Minister. She fights for her political life. May confronts her cabinet today after weekend newspapers were filled with reports about ministers plotting to unseat her. Then later in the day, the Commons is expected to vote on a plan that would allow rank and file MPs to take control of the legislative agenda for the whole of Wednesday. More than 100 lawmakers have put their name to that amendment. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Let's get to markets now, where we're seeing risk-off sentiment this morning. Stocks in Asia kicked off the week with big losses. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index had its biggest one-day drop since last October as markets across the region posted big losses, with Japan's Nikkei Index shedding 3% to post its heftiest fall since Christmas Day's 5% slump. In the bond market, Australia's 10-year bond yield recorded an all-time low of 1.78, while New Zealand's 10-year yield also fell to a record. Japan's 10-year yield dropped to its lowest since September 2016, when the Bank of Japan overhauled policy to focus less on asset purchases. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Bond yields around the world are hitting fresh lows this morning. It all began Friday when the spread between 3-month and 10-year Treasury yields turned negative. Bloomberg's Catherine Greifeld has more.
This curve in particular has inverted before 7 of the last recessions. And this is the curve that the San Francisco Fed has said is the recession indicator that they watch. It's the curve that's most reliable for predicting a recession. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on Fed speak for sure.
And we'll have plenty of Fed speak to dissect this week with comments from nearly a dozen members of the central bank.
And it starts right now with remarks from Chicago Fed President Charles Evans. He spoke with Bloomberg today from Beijing.
If you put yield curves, last time I looked last week, into a statistical model, they were throwing off a slightly higher probability of a recession, but nothing really different than an unconditional forecast. They've often misfired in terms of forecasting recessions, but it's certainly something to be paying attention to, and we're looking at monitoring the data. I mean, after all, the FOMC just announced that we're pausing, we're going to look at the data, we're monitoring all of this, and so financial conditions are clearly something that we're looking at.
Evans also says the Fed may have to put rate hikes on hold or even ease monetary policy if economic forecasts for 2019 disappoint.
And we have M&A news this morning involving one of the world's biggest private companies. Sources tell Bloomberg Uber will soon announce a $3.1 billion deal to acquire its Dubai-based rival Careem Networks. An announcement could come as soon as tomorrow. Right now, futures are moving lower. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 38, NASDAQ futures down 20, and the 10-year Treasury down 8/32nds, yield 2.46%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and tracking the ongoing reaction to the release of the Mueller report and the rest of the world's news is Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says Congress needs to see the full report by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, not just the four-page summary released by Attorney General William Barr. According to Barr's summary, Mueller did not find evidence that President Trump's campaign conspired or coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 presidential election, but reached no conclusion on whether the president obstructed justice. Nadler on compelling Barr to testify.
I would hope that it would not be necessary to use subpoena power to get the attorney general to appear before the committee. We also want to see the full report, and if necessary, we'll use subpoena power to get that too.
Meanwhile, a ranking member of the House Oversight Committee says lawmakers must stand by the Mueller investigation. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio spoke on ABC's This Week.
Everyone in town said, this is the guy we need for the job. He is the best person we can pick. He is right next to Jesus. He can almost walk on water. This is the guy, and he will have the definitive statement on that fundamental question.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short his visit to Washington after a Gaza rocket attack on Israel. Netanyahu described this morning's rocket launch that struck a home in central Israel as a criminal attack. The trade war between the U.S. and China comes back into focus this week with more talks planned. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the latest.
Though the winds seem to shift from day to day, for the moment the negotiating climate seems to be favorable, with U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin heading for Beijing for high-level talks starting Thursday. But Lighthizer says some very big hurdles remain. The Financial Times reports China won't yield on its curbs on digital trade, such as limits on data transfer overseas, and until China proves it's complying, President Trump wants the tariffs to stay.
Now, we're not talking about removing them. We're talking about leaving them and for a substantial period of time.
Beijing wants a deal conditional on the tariffs being removed. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Viking Sky cruise ship has docked in the western Norwegian port of Molde, and the company says all its passengers are safe. Passengers had to be rescued by helicopter after fears engine problems would dash the ship against the rocks in a storm. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the majority of the second-round games of the NCAA tournament were one-sided, but a couple of the games yesterday stood out. The first of the day saw Tennessee blow a 25-point lead, but still win in overtime over Iowa. And then a classic with multiple storylines. Mighty Duke, heavy favorite against Central Florida, who's coached by a former Duke star and longtime assistant to Mike Krzyzewski, Johnny Dawkins. He got 32 points from his son, Aubrey, who was involved in a thrilling finish. UCF had the ball down by a point.
UCF inbounding on the side of the front court. Allen will trigger. Everybody in the building scanning, all 18,000. Allen looking, gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds, he's on the right wing. He drives inside, leans in, puts it up, no good. Tap back, no good, Dawkins. Duke rebounds, and the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape.
Good one, NCAA Radio Network. Duke survives barely, 77-76. The game-winning basket by R.J. Barrett, a putback of a Zion Williamson missed free throw. Williamson scored 32 points. The Knicks, 60th loss, beaten by the Clippers at the Garden, 124-113. Islanders, who got shut out twice last week, had one of their own, 2-0 win over Arizona. The news lately about the Super Bowl champion Patriots has been about their owner, Robert Kraft. Saturday, he issued his first apology after his arrest and solicitation charges. The Patriot news yesterday, the retirement of star tight end Rob Gronkowski, who figures to have no trouble making it to the Hall of Fame. Yankees will play in Washington today. They beat the Twins yesterday. They'll open the season Thursday at the stadium against the Orioles. The Mets will open in D.C. They've got one more game in Florida today. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, in other sports news, sources say Ice Cube's Big Three U.S. Basketball League has secured support from Serena Williams and Snoop Dogg as content partners for its $10 billion bid to buy 21 regional sports networks from Walt Disney. S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 29, NASDAQ futures down 17 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The sell-off that gripped markets Friday shows no sign of ending, with European stocks extending a decline, U.S. stock index futures pointing to a weaker open, and a gauge of Asian shares heading for the biggest drop this year. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 45, NASDAQ futures down 24, the DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds, yield 2.46%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents to $58.92 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33% at $4.60 to $13.23.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.18, the yen, 110.15. And Red Hat is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. According to a summary from Attorney General Barr, Special Counsel Mueller did not find evidence that President Trump's campaign conspired or coordinated with Russia in the 2016 presidential election. But he reached no conclusion on whether President Trump obstructed justice. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short today's visit to Washington after a Gaza rocket attack on Israel. In sports, the Sweet 16 is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Number one-ranked Duke survived a scare by UCF 77-76 to advance. Other teams advancing yesterday include Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas Tech, Houston, Virginia Tech, and Oregon. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics. The Warriors won. NHL action, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. And after 9 seasons, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski is retiring from the NFL. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're joined on this Monday morning following the completion of the special counsel investigation by Greg Valliere, chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. You know, all weekend long, Greg, I've heard a lot of observation that the completion of the probe is the end of the beginning. You see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to come. Subpoenas, hearings, the Southern District of New York. But this is the big one. By having the collusion story buried for good, it's a huge victory for Trump.
Yeah, he's called it total vindication. I wonder whether you think the markets will see it that way as well.
You know, I think for the markets, which always realized correctly that there were not 67 votes in the Senate to convict, for the markets, I think the bigger story right now is fear of a global economic slowdown, maybe fear that the U.S.-China trade talks have hit some stumbling blocks. I think those stories are bigger than Trump.
And so those will come back into the picture, not that they've gone away necessarily for the markets, but in terms of the continuing cloud hanging over Washington, you mentioned the subpoenas, you mentioned the Southern District investigations going on. I mean, what does this mean for policy going forward if we continue to have Democrats investigating the president and, you know, potentially bringing the attorney general to testify now?
And perhaps Mueller as well, of course. So I think the bitterness will persist. I think a lot of Democrats who were demoralized this morning will listen to the base and stay aggressive. There's a minority view that maybe we'll all come together and sing Kumbaya, and the president will seek some compromises on things like prescription drugs or maybe even infrastructure. I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there are 2 years to go. But, I mean, we also are heading into an election cycle here. I say heading into, but now we have 16 Democrats running, and the president is now using the Mueller report to do some of his own fundraising. I mean, does the Mueller investigation and the, you know, the ongoing cloud over the president continue to feed into the election cycle as well?
Absolutely, Nathan, and I think that Trump will get his base motivated. He will raise money. And you have to say now, it's not just the Las Vegas odds makers, but I think a lot of political types who follow elections would have to concede that Trump is now the favorite to win re-election.
And in terms of the possibility of impeachment, I mean, is that off the table now? Or, you know, with Democrats continuing their investigations, I mean, are they still, in your view, laying the groundwork for an impeachment case against the president now?
I mean, there's still a narrow path on obstruction of justice. And I'm sure when Mueller and Barr and others are brought up to the Hill for hearings, the issue of obstruction will come back. So maybe there's a 25% chance of impeachment in the House, but I think we're getting close to a 0% chance of conviction in the Senate. That's the big one.
And, but as I say, the investigations do continue, and if they do, as we do expect them to, what's the risk that Democrats put themselves in potentially if they're seen as being more focused on investigations than on that minority view you mentioned of a kumbaya moment of, you know, working with the president on issues that, you know, both sides have said that they do see some common ground on?
Yeah, and I think that Nancy Pelosi about a month ago got it right. She angered some of the left-wing activists, but she said, you know, impeachment is not realistic. We have to move on to other issues. It's a bitter pill to swallow for a lot of Democrats, but I think her analysis was correct.
So what are you going to be looking for in the weeks ahead here in terms of where these investigations go from now?
Well, first of all, I think in the next few weeks the bigger stories are Brexit, U.S.-China trade deal, softening economic growth. I think for my clients, for the markets, that's more important. But as far as the investigation, there will be more. I guess what I'm looking for are the hearings and the subpoenas that Nadler and others will have, and maybe more will come out. I think the debate was pretty vigorous on obstruction of justice. I think there were some people close to Mueller who thought there was obstruction of justice. So that story is not over. There'll be a lot more hearings on that. But ousting Trump by the Senate is not going to happen. If you don't like Trump, you got to go to the ballot box.
Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist, AGF Investments, thank you so much for this insight. Always appreciate having you on Bloomberg Daybreak. And taking a look at the markets ahead of the open on this Monday morning, they are pointed lower. S&P futures down 7 points now. Dow futures down 56 points. NASDAQ futures down 26 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A victory for President Trump as special counsel Robert Mueller finds no collusion with Russia during the 2016 campaign. Reaction and analysis coming up in just a moment.
First, though, the stock sell-off that gripped markets Friday rolled into Asia today. Japan's Nikkei dropped 3%. Shares fell more than 2% in China and Hong Kong. S&P futures are down nearly a quarter of a percent.
Bond yields across the world are hitting fresh lows. Bloomberg market strategist Wes Goodman reports.
The fear trade is on. You know, bond yields are falling in Germany. Yields, 10-year yields are below zero. They're minus 9 basis points in Japan, and they fell to a record low in Australia. So this is a theme of slowing global growth and falling bond yields. It's, you know, going to be one of the major themes for the year.
And it all comes after the spread between 3-month and 10-year Treasury yields turned negative on Friday after weak PMI data across Europe.
Could be another tough week for UK Prime Minister Theresa May. Parliament votes today on a plan to take over the Brexit agenda.
Apple introduces original video programming and news services today at an event in Cupertino, California. Gene Munster covers Apple for Loop Ventures.
The video service, they will likely launch in the next few months. Over the next couple years, they'll probably have 40 original series, far less than Netflix, but a good start for Apple. And separately, we're expecting them to announce a subscription news service where you pay a single monthly fee and get multiple paid news services. So big picture is Apple's putting more emphasis on services for the long term.
Apple says its services business is on pace to generate $50 billion per year by 2021.
Bloomberg News has learned Uber is set to announce a $3.1 billion deal to acquire Dubai-based rival Careem Networks. An announcement could come as early as this week.
And Boeing plans to meet this week with customers and regulators to explain plans for getting its 737 MAX jets back into service. The aircraft was grounded following two deadly crashes in less than 5 months. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower, down 6 points. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany, little change now, up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.46%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.32%. NYMEX crude oil is little change, down less than a tenth of a percent, down 5 cents to $58.98 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr's summary letter of the Mueller report has ignited a firestorm of reaction. Democrats vow to press on as they demand the full Mueller report. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
On the first point, cooperation between the Trump campaign and Russia, it says no. That is a word the president uses for collusion. On the point of obstruction of justice, it does not draw a conclusion, saying it says it involves difficult issues of law and fact with regarding to intent. But the president is claiming victory, and the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, says the president is wrong.
So it's complete exoneration, no collusion, no obstruction.
Special Counsel Mueller was clear that his report, quote, does not exonerate, close quote, the president.
If one thing is clear, the battle has now shifted totally to Congress. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short his visit to Washington after a Gaza rocket attack on Israel. An Israeli rescue service said the rocket from the Gaza Strip struck a house in central Israel, wounding seven people. Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand kicked off her presidential campaign yesterday in New York City with a rally outside of Trump International Hotel. Gillibrand called the president a coward and said he puts his name on buildings to project strength.
Look up at that tower. A shrine to greed, division, and vanity.
New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced an inquiry into how the March 15th terror attack shootings at two mosques in Christchurch was able to happen.
There will be a focus on whether our intelligence community was concentrating its resources appropriately and whether there were any reports that could or should have been alerted them to this attack.
50 people were killed in the attack. New Jersey lawmakers plan to vote today on legalization of recreational pot. Then tomorrow, the U.S. House Financial Services Committee will vote on the SAFE Act, which would permit commercial banks to offer services to cannabis companies that are in compliance with state law. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street, and John Stashower has our Bloomberg NBC Sports update.
Nathan, Duke's the favorite to win the NCAA tournament. A lot of brackets almost busted in the second round. Duke trailed Central Florida by 3 with 14 seconds left. Zion Williamson cut that lead to 1 and got fouled, so a chance to tie. Duke actually did one better.
Zion Williamson with a free throw to try to tie it. 65% shooter. Looks up. Lets it go. Missed it. It's short. Offensive rebound. Barron. And Barron lays it in. Duke leads by 1. 12 seconds left.
Westwood 1, NCAA Radio Network. Last chance for UCF. Two good scoring chances, including a tip-in that rolled along the rim before falling out. Duke 77, UCF 76. Williamson 32 points. So did UCF's Aubrey Hawkins, the coach's son. It was his tip-in that didn't go in.
I put back on BJ's floater and it just didn't go. Rolled around the rim. I mean, heartbreak. That's the only way to sum it up. I mean, we spent all this time, you know, trying to get to the stage and obviously wanted our journey to continue. And so when that doesn't happen, it's, I mean, when you invest this much in it, it breaks your heart.
Tournament down to the Sweet 16. All the teams seeded first, second, and third still alive. L.A. Clippers, latest to beat the Knicks, 124-113. Islanders 2-0 over Arizona. Robin Leonard, the shutout. Yankees with James Paxton on the mound beat the Twins 5-3. Exhibition game today in Washington, D.C. Then they head home to start the season Thursday. Mets schedule this week, criticized by Noah Syndergaard. They beat the Marlins. Bus trip to Sarasota to play the Orioles today. Then a flight to Syracuse to work out tomorrow before heading to D.C. for Thursday's opener. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Now let's get more on the fallout from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report with an assessment from Attorney General William Barr that says the president did not collude with Russia and that there wasn't enough evidence to decide whether he obstructed justice. For that, we turn to our colleagues from Daybreak Asia, Ed Baxter and Doug Krisner. They speak with Bloomberg News investigative reporter Greg Farrell.
I think there is still many more questions than answers, but we do know Mueller's report did not find direct collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian effort to undermine the U.S. election. So I think that is a top line that's important. There's so many questions and there are so many things that have already come public that appeared suggestive of that, that it's hard to really weigh it because we don't know how they were explained away. The meeting in Trump Tower, the data that Paul Manafort, the president's campaign manager, gave to a Russian spy. Roger Stone taking hacked information from a Russian spy and helping to analyze it during the campaign. Those were very suggestive things. We don't know how they were explained or explained away, and I think in time, hopefully, we'll find out.
Yeah, David, there's one line that just stands out to me from this letter, and this, of course, is the Barr letter of the release. This talking about obstruction says, quote, the report found evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as difficult issues of law. So what he says, his interpretation was that Mr. Mueller kicked it over to him, and he says no collusion, no obstruction. Is that your reading of it?
I think that it's clear that Mueller decided to, rather surprisingly, not to weigh in on whether or not there was obstruction. I mean, it's usually the prosecutor's job to say if they think a crime had been committed, but he chose to punt it. You know, there are those who believe he was actually throwing it to Congress, saying, look, this should be something for Congress to consider for possible impeachment, because obstruction, you know, in both the Clinton cases and the Nixon impeachment efforts, those were big parts of it.
Mr. Trump refused to be interviewed by the special counsel. I mean, they were in agreement on a couple of answers to a few questions, but there was no kind of interview that would have maybe gotten us to that level of, hey, this constitutes potential obstruction.
I guess, but he did make public interviews, the famous interview with Lester Holt, where he said, I got rid of Comey because the whole Russia thing, and that was a witch hunt, and he basically said what he did it. I remember another interview where he said, you know, I fight back. If you want to call that obstruction, that's fine, but I fight back. So I think there was enough of a public record that you probably couldn't get him to say anything better than those two statements.
Yeah, David, the president now is claiming victory. He wants to go after the other side. And I think, but I want to follow up on a point about the difference between legal definition of obstruction and, you said, punting it over to Congress, because if there is a mood for impeachment, that is a definite different bar than the legal outside in criminal or civil case, correct?
It is, and I think we've already seen some of the reaction from the president's loyalists saying, this is it, it's done, case closed, we should move on and start to heal the country. And I think that's not going to happen. I mean, Congressman Nadler just said he's bringing people in, and there'll be other hearings, and it's going to keep going on.
And as it keeps going on, we'll keep bringing you the latest here on Bloomberg Radio. That was Bloomberg News investigative reporter Greg Farrell speaking with our colleagues Ed Baxter and Doug Krisner on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. S&P futures lower by 7 points now. Dow futures down 47. NASDAQ futures down almost 25 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak U.S. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving, not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit CommandFinancial.com today.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The sell-off that gripped markets Friday is showing little sign of ending, with European stocks extending declines, U.S. stock index futures pointing to a weaker open, and a gauge of Asian shares heading for the biggest drop this year. Technology shares leading declines in Europe, though the stocks Europe 600 did pair some of the morning's losses as data showed confidence among German companies unexpectedly improved, and the DAX in Germany did turn higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with the DAX in Germany up a tenth of a percent this morning. S&P futures are lower, down 5 points. Dow futures down 28 and NASDAQ futures down 20. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. The yield 2.46%. Yield on the 2-year 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 2 cents at $59.05 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Attorney General William Barr assessed that there was no collusion with Russia during Donald Trump's 2016 campaign and that there wasn't enough evidence to find he obstructed justice. Barr released a 4-page summary of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's 22-month inquiry into Russian interference. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short today's visit to Washington after meeting with President Trump. Netanyahu says a Gaza rocket launch struck a home in central Israel. In sports, the Sweet 16 is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Number one-ranked Duke survived a scare by UCF to advance. Also in the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. And after 9 seasons, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski is retiring from the NFL. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's time now for the Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Today, we're looking at the fallout from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. An assessment of the report from Attorney General William Barr says President Trump did not collude with Russia during the 2016 campaign. campaign. It also says there was not enough evidence to decide whether or not he obstructed justice. For more on the findings, we hear from Harry Sandick, former assistant U.S. attorney and current partner at Patterson, Belknap, Webb & Taylor.
The word exoneration seems a little bit of sort of day is nightism from the president, given that Mueller concluded that this was not meant to be an exoneration. So the president and his associates and lawyers using the word exoneration seems designed to just mislead the public as to the underlying facts of what happened. Even on the Russia issue, some of the language that was used leaves open questions, something like the evidence did not establish that there was a conspiracy or coordination between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. What about people associated with the Russian government? What about conspiracies by non-U.S. people and the Russian government? There's just a lot of open questions, and these can be answered when and if the Mueller report in some substantial form is released. President Trump's lawyers were very equivocal about whether it should be released. They sort of said it's up to the Department of Justice. Barr, in his letter, describes a process to review and redact the Mueller report, which seems appropriate, but doesn't give any timetable, doesn't indicate that there's any real urgency for that to be done. And special counsel guidelines that were promulgated in the late 90s don't require a public report in the same way that the independent counsel guidelines did for Ken Starr and Lawrence Walsh in the past. You know, Congress needs to have some either summary from Mueller himself provided, along with enough underlying documents to make an assessment of what it needs to do or conduct its own investigation.
And that's Harry Sandick, former assistant U.S. attorney and current partner at Patterson, Belknap, Webb, and Taylor. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 551 on Wall Street. Let's get a look at the economic outlook now. David Rosenberg joins us. He's chief economist at Gluskin Sheff. Nice to talk with you, David. You know, a lot of concern that recession worries might be back on the table with the 3-month 10-year yield inverting for the first time since before the crisis. Are those concerns warranted?
Well, I think that they are. And, you know, in addition to all the strains that are emerging overseas, you know, whether it's the sluggishness in the European economy and, of course, the spreading weakness that you've seen from China right through to emerging Asia, the reality here is that we've had the Fed this cycle raise rates 9 times. We are starting to see the lagged impact of the tightening in monetary policy from the past 12 to 24 months starting to hit home on the credit-sensitive sectors domestically. And the one thing that really caught my eye that nobody seemed to discuss during this wonderful, you know, bear market rally in stocks this year is that the key domestic sectors of the stock market, I'm speaking specifically about the small cap stocks, never made it within 8% of the world highs. They have continued to woefully underperform, and along with the shape of the yield curve telling you something about what the contours of the economy are going to be looking like in the next several quarters, and it's going to be very soft, even if it's not an NBER-defined recession, the leading indicators are telling you that the economy is going to be relatively stagnant for the next little while.
Now, former Fed Chair Janet Yellen is speaking in Hong Kong right now, and she's saying that she doesn't see yield curve inversion as a signal of recession necessarily. Where is she wrong?
Well, I guess people will point to the fact that you've had a couple of isolated instances in the past where the yield curve inverted in the mid-60s and in 1998, as an example, and didn't trigger an outright recession. It did lead to some easing out of the central bank, which we've only heard dovish talk so far, but not actual rate cuts. But the reason why you didn't have a recession in the periods when the yield curve inverted in the past is that the Fed actually came in quite aggressively and eased policy. It's interesting to me that despite all the dovish pivot and all the dovish talk, not one FOMC, not one Fed official actually was brave enough to even predict the next move to be an easing when they had the opportunity last week when you look at the dot plots. So my sense is that the yield curve is telling you that the Fed is already too late. We may well escape this without a technical recession, but I think that the numbers are going to be surprising a lot of people to the downside, you know, including Janet Yellen. Nobody ever said the yield curve is an infallible indicator, but right. to say that it's not, that recession risks aren't rising, the yield curve doesn't have a 100% track record, but its track record is 85%. I think it's better than the track record of most economists that I know. So you ignore it at your peril. But my sense is that it is at least telling you, the contours are telling you, that the economy is going to be weaker beyond the first quarter. That is really, I think, the you know, the complacency or the view that's going to be put to the test, is that the first quarter weakness was all polar vortex and all government shutdown. I think that the risk is that we're not going to get much of a bounce in the second quarter. And so if you think that this downdraft in bond yields was something that was temporary, it's probably going to gain even more momentum. And the risk is that the yield curve will invert even further as we move into the spring.
So then you don't see a chance then that the slowdown that we are seeing in the overall global economy doesn't diverge from growth in the U.S.? I ask because, you know, we are still seeing, you know, a very solid, strong job picture in the U.S. Doesn't that provide at least something of a tailwind?
I think that, firstly, employment is the last thing that starts to roll over as you move into a recession. Go back to the last several recessions, and you'll see that by the time employment starts to weaken, as an investor, your head's already sliced off. You want to pay attention to the leading indicators. Non-farm payrolls is not one of the official 10 components of the Conference Board leading economic indicator, but the work week is. And I find it fascinating that people tend to focus on headline non-farm payrolls. And, of course, we did have a very soft print in February. We'll see if it's repeated in March. But the work week leads employment. And the work week, both for the private economy and manufacturing, has started to roll over. And that's something I think you want to pay attention to, because hours leads bodies. You first, as a business, when you start seeing demand start to slow, you cut the work week, then you cut employment. So what's important is not what non-farm payrolls are doing in January or February. What's important is what your forecast is, what they're going to be doing in June, July, and August. And
only
the work
about,
week is starting to tell you that those things, that headline employment is going to be softening in the next several months.
Only about 30 seconds left, David. What's your call on whether the Fed goes ahead and you know, shows that bravery you said they lacked the last time around, and signals a cut this year?
Well, firstly, I think that they've already done a huge turn as it is. And if you read the press statement, they've left themselves with a lot of flexibility to cut interest rates. I think that the view is that they could move in any direction is a big change from where we were just about 3 months ago. And I think that the data and the markets will push the Fed into cutting interest rates. I think that we're already walking down that path.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, the Fed is a very incremental institution.
Right.
But when they make the move to cutting rates, as you've seen in the past, they'll be moving aggressively. I expect that you'll see that this summer.
Okay. Chief Economist David Rosenberg, thanks so much for joining us. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.